You are welcome to this overview of Reversing Hermon, Session 10, The Watchers, the Nephilim, and the Antichrist. By the end of this session, we shall be able to explain early Jewish belief in an evil man, early Christian beliefs about the number 666, and a biblical profile of the Antichrist. During the centuries of the Second Temple, some Jewish scholars developed a doctrine of an end-time evil personage. This arose partly from prophetic expectations of a coming Messiah, prophetic predictions of great opposition to Israel, and prophetic messages against Gog. Then prophetic mention of a particular evil king, and speculation about Belial incarnated. Later literature warned of a king of the kings of the earth in a writing titled The Assumption of Moses, Chapter 8. And then prophetic predictions of a messianic victory or God's victory over that evil one. In the scripture, at Nahum chapter 1, verse 11, we read about King Sennacherib of Nineveh. From you came one who plotted evil against the Lord, a worthless, that is, Belial, counselor. I will break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds apart. The term worthless is the Hebrew word Belial, used in Jewish literature for the devil. Verse 15, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Yes, the evil counselor is followed by the Messiah who publishes peace. However, this verse originally dealt with Sennacherib of Nineveh. 2 centuries later, the prophet Daniel wrote about a beast which had horns. He wrote, the horn had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Again, a great end-time evil figure. The horn here is a symbol of a king over an evil empire. It was fulfilled in history in the person of the Seleucid Greek king Antiochus Epiphanes IV. All of this led to a kind of Jewish demonology, a belief about Belial, also called Biliar in the Dead Sea Scrolls, who would be leader over the powers of darkness. This explains evil as a cosmic struggle between good and evil, led by an evil angel called Semihaza, Mastema, Belial, or Prince of the Darkness. Spiritual oppression, many believed, was caused by demons who are spirits of dead Nephilim giants. An example of Jewish literature is the Damascus document fragment. One copy was found in an ancient synagogue in Cairo, Egypt, the other in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Damascus document, as it is called, says, Belial, with his cunning, raised up Janus and his brothers, harking back to Egypt. In the present age in which we now lived, they called the days of Belial's dominion, in a document called the Rule of the Community. Another document called the War Scroll predicts an end times war between Messiah and Belial. And yet another Dead Sea Scroll document says, Yahweh said, a son of Belial will plot to oppress my people. A multitude will be defiled. Offspring will not remain. The wicked man I will kill in Memphis, and I will make my sons go out of Memphis. I will turn myself towards their remnant. Whilst an historical individual may be in view, others project this into the future. Then there were the Sibylline oracles from Greece, in documents dating from 150 BCE, regarding Emperor Nero, Claudius, Caesar, Augustus, Germanica, who ruled between 54 and 68 CE, right in the midst of the New Testament writings. One of these oracles reads, Biliar will come from the Augusti, that is, Nero's lineage. He will perform signs for men, lead astray many of the faithful chosen Hebrews and other lawless men who have not yet listened to the word of God. However, this oracle may not have been added until after 70 CE. From all of this, we might draw some inferences about the expectation of an evil man. First, we note that neither 1 Enoch nor the New Testament claims that the Antichrist will be a descendant or an incarnation of Satan, of a watcher, or of a Nephilim spirit, nor was he said to be a giant. However, some Second Temple Jews inferred that an evil end-time tyrant may be any of the above. When we come into the New Testament in the early first century, we read the words of Jesus. He said, False Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Clearly, many of the elect will still be on the earth when Christ returns. The term for false Christ here is pseudo-Christos rather than anti-Christos, though the meanings can overlap. This one will lead astray many Hebrews. Remember, Satan's main tactic remains deceit, false ideas, disinformation enforced by authorities. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote in about 51 CE, The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. This seems to speak of a distinct human individual who will show great power before the return of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs, all wicked deception, consistent with what Jesus had said. Now, when we come to John's epistles, he wrote, You have heard that Antichrist is coming, but then this is the Antichrist, anyone who denies the Father and the Son. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So, Antichrist is not only a yet future individual, but also all those who teach falsehood about Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, in the late first century, we read in 13:18, Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Assuming that this is a reference to the man of sin or Antichrist, we recall that the beast is an evil empire first described in Daniel chapter 7. But this number of a man is to be calculated using gematria, that is, the ancient practice of comparing words whose letters have a certain numeric value. Before we deal with that, let's recall that in Greek mythology, the Titans were the first gods representing natural forces and existence. Their term Titan referred to certain children of Uranus, the sky god, and of Gaia, the earth god. These children rebelled against them. The same Greek word, Titan, is used in 2 Samuel 5:18 of giants. The usual term for giants, however, is gigantes, which is used of another child of the sky god with his wife, the earth god. The same word is used in the ancient Greek Bible at Genesis 6 of the Nephilim. And then there's mention of Tartarus. Greek mythology said that Zeus imprisoned the Titans in Tartarus. In the New Testament, at 2 Peter 2:4, we are told that the ancient watchers who sinned are kept in Tartarus. In the early church, Irenaeus, who lived between 130 and 202 CE, wrote this: "He," that is, the Antichrist, "pretends that he vindicates the oppressed, a name belonging to a tyrant. We infer that, perchance, he who is to come shall be called Titan," that is, Antichrist. We recall that Titan in Greek mythology were the first gods who rebelled against heavenly authority, a clear parallel to Genesis chapter 6. The number in the book of Revelation, is it 666 or 616? A Greek papyrus copy of the book of Revelation from the 3rd or 4th century has an abbreviated number equaling 666. Now, the book of Revelation was composed in Greek. The first generation of Christians were Greek-reading Jews, and they read 666 in their Greek Bible, copies of the New Testament, and did their gematria from Greek. Now, Nero Caesar's Greek name, Neron Caesar, if you do gematria on the Greek letters after converting them to Hebrew, does indeed equal 666. Another Greek document, however, Papyrus 150 from the 3rd century, is calculated differently. A century after the first Christians, many were Gentiles who spoke Latin and did their gematria from Latin. They calculated Nero Caesar's Latin name, Nero Caesar, to equal 616 in Hebrew letters. So, someone altered a copy of the book of Revelation to read 616. Thus, in the first two centuries, the Christians had great interest in the Antichrist, whom they took to be Nero Caesar. They believed it was Nero Caesar then for about two centuries. However, interest in the Antichrist waned when Christianity became legal and the persecutions of Christians ceased. Centuries later, however, Protestants began to declare some of the Catholic popes to be an Antichrist or even the Antichrist. Along the way, Islam invented a similar doctrine of an end-time Mahdi. Remnants of the Holy Roman Empire continued to call their leader Kaiser after Caesar. By the 20th century, as European countries gained in power and willingness to wage war, Christians once again popularized the Antichrist, and some then declared Hitler to be an Antichrist. Typical of early 20th century writers was A.W. Pink, who made this parallel between Christ and Antichrist. Christ speaks truth, Antichrist speaks the lie. Christ is the Holy One, Antichrist the lawless one. Jesus was a man of sorrows, Antichrist the man of sin. Jesus is the Son of God, Antichrist the son of destruction. Jesus is our mystery of godliness, whereas the Antichrist is the mystery of iniquity. Jesus cleansed the temple, Antichrist will desecrate the temple. This idea, however, gave rise to an evangelical belief that Israel must build a new temple. Jesus is the Lamb of God, Antichrist is the beast, although the beast is a nation, Antichrist a leader of a nation. Now, many are wondering, is the Bible then a collection of myths? Well, yes. However, it's a collection of true myths. Remember, a myth is any story that has divine beings described in it. The Bible, however, only contains the true parts of ancient pagan myths. Thus, the Bible came to us in cultural language and forms and stories and worldviews which we must parse, that is, analyze for its teaching. Thus, Peter reminded us that holy men from God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Your assignment for next time is to read in Reversing Hermon, chapter 11, The Watcher's Sin and the Apocalypse. And then visit the website for other resources at reversinghermon.site, S-I-T-E.